The big names you know. The other guys you've never heard of. Until now. This is Around the Nest. Jay talking around the Blue Jays minor league system.
From AAA Buffalo, he is Pat Mollicaro.
Hey guys, great to be with you today.
From AA New Hampshire, going one at a time, first Bob Lippman.
Hello everybody, thanks for joining us.
Tyler Murray.
Jesse, thanks for doing it, I've missed you all.
Tyler Zickel.
Cheers everyone, I wish I had Pat's lighting, I'll tell you that.
From Vancouver, Rob Fay.
It's the only room in the house where I could get away from my kids, so I'm hoping they stay out.
And from Bluefield, Zach Helden.
Hey, everybody. Happy to be on here from hot and humid Southwest Virginia.
It's beautiful. So this is our crew. Let's see if Jim Tarabocchia does join later on. I'll be ready just in case. But as things currently stand, it's really good to see everyone. Let's start right with you, Pat. How are you right now?
Doing well here in Buffalo. It's been a little bit different. We've been working from home now for going on 10, 11 weeks and, you know, kind of just going with the flow like everyone, I bet. And just everyone's staying as safe and as well as they can here, and hope everyone out there is doing the same. And it's different not being at the ballpark right now, but getting used to having the summer back a little bit right now. Hope it doesn't last, but getting used to it at least.
Bob Lippman, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Jesse. We're here in southern New Hampshire, being in close proximity to Boston. We have a little bit more concern over this COVID-19 than I think a lot of other people. So try to keep everybody as safe as can be. I've been working in my spare time doing newscasts, going back to my roots as a newscaster and doing morning drive and afternoon drive newscasts. But I certainly wish I was at the ballpark. I haven't called a game since March, and I'm certainly missing it.
Just like riding a bicycle, right?
Yeah, I have hope.
Tyler Murray, how are you?
Well, that's six-time New Hampshire Sportscaster of the Year, Bob Lippman. So it's most definitely like a bike with training wheels. It's too easy for him. Most of my entertainment sources come from watching people play baseball video games. So it was Bo Bichette for a while. And then I've been rooting on Pat in his IL league. What happened there, Pat? Are you knocked out or what's the story?
Yeah, I didn't do too well this year. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, it's been fun to follow along. So thanks for keeping us entertained.
Tyler Zickel, what's up?
Oh, well, just got back from San Diego, California, my hometown, less than 2 hours ago. Like a wild man, I drove across the country at the beginning of May and then just drove back this past week. And as you can see from the backdrop, I snuck into Delta Dental Stadium. Now I'm on the move trying not to get caught by Vice President of Stadium Operations Tim Howe, who has been holding down the fort here in New Hampshire for everybody. But I'll tell you, even with no baseball, it's just nice to be here at the ballpark. I feel really lucky to be here, that's for sure.
It's like an Aaron Sorkin show, walking and talking.
I wish I had his cash.
Do you see that happened with, what was it, the Jackson Generals broadcaster, where the guy just rolled into the stadium, found his way into the booth, and just recorded himself with a special message for everyone? All right, from Tyler Zickel. Rob Fay, you're up next. How are you?
We're well. There's no doubt about it. I have the advantage of my season would have even started for another 2 weeks. So I've kind of been living vicariously through that little sliver of hope that maybe we'll get a season. But I think it was probably middle of April when I realized that we weren't going to have a season at all. So we've already started to build our 2021 ticketing packages and a whole bunch of different things. And then you take into consideration the contraction of minor league baseball. And you start to think of the fact that maybe the Canadians will be with a different affiliate. Maybe the Canadians will be 140 games instead of 76. So, I mean, it's there's plan A, plan B, plan C, D, E. And realistically, you just, I guess at some point, we'll pull out one of those plans and utilize it. But it's been a year like no other. I've never experienced anything like it.
That brings us to a very bitter segue. Zach and Bluefield, how are you?
Yeah, we mentioned contraction. Obviously, you bring it right to me, and it's an odd time to be in this area for so many reasons. The Appy League is one of the few that is on the cutting block, and everything's so uncertain right now in Bluefield. you know, we kind of hoped that this 2020 season would be a swan song, essentially. One of our biggest fans just passed away over the Memorial Day weekend. So it's been a just a somber mood around here. And I'm kind of like the rest of you guys. I think a college softball game in March was the last game I've called. So I'm just in my office bored to death and trying to stay sane through all this.
These are the opening pleasantries, even though things aren't all that pleasant, although it's great to see everyone. Zach, let's stick with you because I saw an article retweeted about that fan, how legendary he was. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, Henry Doubleout Belcher was a staple in Bluefield. He was going back to the Oriole days. I think he began going to the ballpark in 1957. I think that was the last year or the only year the Brooklyn Dodgers were an affiliate of Bluefield. And he grew up in Bluefield and was at Oriole games and the Blue Jays games. I think the only year he didn't attend a game, he was in the Navy. So he was always there and always really vocal. He was very loud. When I was a kid, my grandfather would just avoid sitting near a Doubleout because it's how loud he was. But it was one of those things, even in the past couple of years when I've been broadcasting Blue Jays games, I would always point a crowd mic towards him. And usually when it would get quiet or maybe a questionable call would happen, I would always chime in, well, that's how Doubleout saw it. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of players' families would come to Bluefield and they say, oh, this is Henry Doubleout. We thought it was just some bit you were doing. I said, no, this is a real guy, and he's a tremendous fan. And they did a great story, the local paper did, about how he would buy guys cake when they came to town. If they had a birthday during the season, he would celebrate it with them. Usually their last couple of days in Bluefield, he would take them out to dinner. He was part of the boosters here at Bluefield, and he was just an overall tremendous guy. He's going to be missed, and, you know, hopefully I think we're all holding out hope that something good happens, but it's kind of poetic justice in a way that Henry Doubleout may have actually seen the last Bluefield Appalachian League game, period, with last year's season ending.
Let's stay with the fans, because the players aren't in any of our respective sites, but we are, and our fans are, so we can still correspond with them. We miss baseball just as much as they do. Has anyone had any memorable communications with your team's fans?
I think it's been fun. Zick is our on-field MC as well as our road radio broadcaster. So, Zick, I'll give you the floor. You've been remoting into, what, dozens of different schools as part of our reading program, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, my off-season is typically spent going around with our mascot, Fungo, visiting physically all the schools in the state and some even in northern Massachusetts. But, of course, no classrooms to visit and no baseball to be played. So we figured, why not have Zick drop into a bunch of virtual classrooms? Of course, our state has been kind of on the cutting edge of this remote learning and really working together as one big unit. And I think the Fisher Cats, we've played a nice role in trying to support those efforts. So it's been great to jump into these classrooms, see a bunch of kids that we would normally see at the ballpark. And certainly it's something that the teachers have really appreciated as well. I think more than anything, it's a service to our community just to be able to mix it up, because you can only get so much from day after day in your virtual remote learning classroom. So it was really just an honor to be able to drop in and bring a little light to somebody's day.
This is the fun of it, is in general, on and around the nest, it would go one-on-one, right? Me with a phone call with you. But what I enjoy is that we actually do get to interact with each other. So either Pat, Rob, in Buffalo, Vancouver, have you had correspondence with your team reaching out, or with you? Have you heard anything from your local fans?
Pat, I'll let you start.
Yeah, it's been a lot, and just in general with our fans and just trying to keep them engaged. We do different things on the website or on social media, whether it's fireworks on Fridays or the wing race on Wednesday afternoons, just to try and keep, you know, if you just need 5 minutes to not do your schoolwork or just need to watch some fireworks to take your mind off things. That's kind of what we've been doing in just in general and keeping it, you know, as light as we can that way. And even yesterday would have been school kids day at the ballpark. So putting activities out there that we would normally present in between innings. Well, we did those yesterday through social media to keep those type of things that we've done year after year kind of at the forefront and keeping those as tools to help, you know, kids or the parents.
Yeah, I think we've done a lot of the same things in Vancouver, and Stephanie Ellis, who takes care of our social media, has done a tremendous job with it. And, you know, everything from virtual fireworks to sushi mascot races, which is, of course, indigenous to Vancouver. Those are the things that our fans expect during the summer, dancing groundskeepers. So those are things we're going to do. But I think more from a personal touch, we've tried to realize the fact that we are, and I think you guys could probably say the same thing, where you try to get away from life's troubles. So we've really tried to, although we acknowledge things like face masks and washing your hands and trying to educate even our younger fans, we've really just tried to stick to baseball and really just try to give people, as Pat mentioned, a therapeutic 5 or 10 minutes away from reality where they can still envision being at the ballpark and having a good time. So I know it sounds kind of salesy, but I mean, the reality is that's our responsibility in our community, is to make sure that we can keep people sane and smiling every once in a while. And if it takes dancing groundskeepers and sushis running all over our field, then that's our job.
It is nods in unison that you're receiving, because each of us is the voice slash face of our team. And yes, here's what we have to talk about and to listen to and correspond with all the people who love our team just as much as we do is, all right, so there's no baseball. We can still take our time. We can spend our time in valuable ways. So with the Lugnuts, for example, we took a great idea from the Bowling Green Hot Rods, a team in our league, and we're doing the Friday Wave, where we drive around Big Lug, the mascot, to different neighborhoods. And you just know, here are the neighborhoods that Big Lug is going to be riding through that day, waving to everyone as they go by.
Smart. We, with our sushi mascot, we actually had pillowcases and attached some, I guess larger than rubber bands, but some extensions on them, so that all of our mascots now have face masks so that we can identify with what's going on currently in our neighborhoods.
That's outstanding. Let me go all the way back to March when everything was shut down. Tyler Murray, where were you?
Are you saying, was it when the NBA was shut down? Because that was when I think everything really started.
Yes, and especially spring training.
So you know what? That was a week before I was going to go down and follow in Pat's footsteps. But the way my mind works, I was more concerned on that night with the Knicks losing to the Hawks, so my favorite basketball team would get a better lottery pick. Of course, for the final game that was played before it was all shut down, they won for once, so I was in a bad mood. But then I found out the next week we were going to go to, you know, Disney World and do the spring training thing, but it was for the best in the end. I'm glad that they decided to just shut spring training down, because if they kept it going, I mean, that's kind of a hard decision to fly down there during everything that's going on. So I mean, I think they made the right call, but yeah, I was sitting here on my couch watching basketball, then I realized the next couple weeks are going to look a lot different than I was planning on.
I asked you because
timing is everything, right, Tyler? Because if this came 4 days later, you might have been in Dunedin when all of this happened, and everything, you know, changed. Everything could have changed in a hurry.
That's right. I think Pat, had you come back to Buffalo by the time it all got shut down?
Yes, I was actually down in Dunedin, and I called the game, three games that week, and I was out at dinner with Ben Wagner and his wife and some other folks when everything in the NBA started happening, and you know, you hear Tom Hanks and his wife are dealing with coronavirus in Australia, and it just, everything started to kind of unravel from there. And then the next day, the Blue Jays were playing the junior Canadian national team, and you know, you kind of got the sense that everything was kind of, you know, coming to a stop very soon. And I got on a flight that Thursday night. I was supposed to fly home Friday, got home a day early, and you could definitely tell, you know, getting on that plane that things, there was an uneasiness in people, that the night before, the events that transpired really changed the conversation from what we had been, how we'd been dealing with you know, this virus from the outside. It was now something we were all kind of trying to figure out, and it was definitely a different feeling.
Pat, at the very end of February, the start of March, that's when I was in spring training. And I remember coming back, and while I was there, the Blue Jays had played in Bradenton. And the very next day thereabouts, there had been cases in Bradenton County in the area, and the Pirates had entirely bleached the clubhouses, made sure to disinfect everything. So I'm flying back thinking, I've been reading about asymptomatic people. I hope that I'm not asymptomatic. Did you have any nervousness yourself?
After the fact, yeah, I did. I've actually gone in Erie County, the county we're in. They have plenty of tests, so I've gone back and I don't have any of the antibodies or anything, but that's something I thought about after the fact of knowing that it was in that area, and I wasn't in Bradenton, but just getting on an airplane, and I did a lot of traveling for the hockey team here that I cover, and was out in different states and in Las Vegas 2 weeks prior to that. So, there was a lot of uneasiness that way. And, when I got down to Florida that Monday was when the social distancing and all those different measures were being put in place. So even then you got the sense that it was not the same spring training that we have been used to. There was definitely a different feeling. And, luckily here where we are, we're able to get tested and find out more easily than I know a lot of parts of the country have been able to.
We cover such disparate areas. So I'm in Michigan. We've got the East Coast. Tyler Zickel, you were just off in San Diego before coming back, and Buffalo and Vancouver, British Columbia. And Zach Helton, let me ask you, how has it been in terms of as the shutdowns have spread across, what is Bluefield like?
Well, as some of you may know, Central Appalachia is usually the last one to hear about anything. So we've been kind of lucky. The numbers have been down here. Not a lot of traveling in and out, but like some of you guys were saying, it's just been an eerie feeling. I can remember the day the NBA and the NCAA tournament, all those things started to cancel. I was in the middle of a college softball game, and I was on the air broadcasting a game, and our SID and AD were in the background. They were watching, social media back and forth with the other athletic directors and even the home office to the conference, kind of seeing what would happen. And we started, a 2-7 inning doubleheader, thinking this is just another normal day. And then by the end of the day, we were doing a senior day kind of thing with not only our home team, but the other team, because, these girls didn't realize that, some of them may have played their last softball game. So it was such a weird feeling. And it's one of those things I think all of us are going to be down the road saying, where were you at when all this went down? And hopefully, after a long broadcasting career, I'll be sitting with my grandkids saying, I was on the microphone doing college softball when, all the uncertainty happened. And it's just a weird feeling how all this has played out. But here in the area, we've been really lucky. The numbers have been relatively low, but, I think we're all just kind of sitting and waiting and hoping that this is, somewhat of a normal fix soon rather than later.
Rob Fay, where were you and how were you affected?
Well, I was actually over the course of that span in two different places. I was broadcasting a hockey show for the Golden Knights down in Las Vegas and then made my way back to Vancouver. And I guess from that perspective, you guys talk about college sports and the NBA. Vancouver is a hockey hub. There's no doubt about it. Everybody's a distant second. So as we watched the NHL grind to their own stop, that was real for us. But I think the one thing that I'll take away from maybe that first week, it usually takes me 45 minutes to commute from my house to Nat Bailey Stadium. It took me 18 minutes the first week that they did the shutdown in our city. So there was nobody on the roads. And I think it really took probably 2 or 3 weeks for the entire region to understand what a lockdown was, how it was going to affect them, and how they're going to start to work from home. So there was definitely a transition period. But for me, yeah, you can talk about the sports, but it was just the scarcity of people. You would have to wait in line at a store for a place you would never have a lineup, or you would have to go on the highway, and instead of having to crawl along at 25 or 30 miles an hour, you were scooting along at 60 and there was nobody in sight. So those are the things that I take with me.
Let's talk Blue Jays baseball, because in general, that's what we do with the minor leagues. When I was down in spring training, I heard from a lot of media people and Blue Jays about enthusiasm for the younger players coming up, whether that's a Nate Pearson, whether that's an Alejandro Kirk or an Alec Manoa right on down. Bob Lippman, let's start with you about the Blue Jays.
I sure was looking forward to this year. Tyler and Zick and I had that wonderful opportunity to have Vlad and Bo and Kevin, Lourdes Gurriel, all come through New Hampshire. We won a title. We sent them off to Buffalo. They did fine there. And, what happens to the Blue Jays now? Are they still a year behind when we emerge it's really going to be a tough decision, but I can't think of a better time to be in the Blue Jays organization in terms of the excitement, because I think that run up the ladder is always an awful lot of fun. And I, you know, we saw Nate Pearson a little bit last year, and I can't say that I saw what Nate Pearson is going to be, because, you know, the restraints were on him so much when he was here in New Hampshire, but man, does he have a world of talent, is going to be fun to watch.
Tyler, is that cool? Go ahead. Sorry,
Jesse, thank you for setting that one up. Once again, as usual, I'm swinging too early and missing. That's why my baseball career ended when it did after one season in college. But I just wanted to echo what Bob was saying. As usual, Bob is hitting it right on the head. I actually had a chance to do some Zoom interviews with Zach Loeb, Josh Palacios, and Patrick Murphy over the last 10 days. And all three of those guys, specifically Zach Loeb, went really deep into how excited they were to show up to camp this year and all the energy surrounding a lot of those guys. Of course, specifically Zach mentioning how excited he was for his friend and teammate Nate Pearson to have his coming out party this year. And then on down from there, the trickle-down talent effect, where it seems like at every level there's somebody to be excited about. So talking to those three guys, they felt as though really the energy, the vibe around the clubhouse in Dunedin, around the complex, was that this was going to be a year that down the road you'd look back on and say, that was the turning point. That was the camp where everybody started to pull on the same side of the rope. The guys who we've been waiting to emerge have emerged, and those other newly arrived guys are now really stepping into what the Blue Jays saw when taking them in the draft or acquiring them through trades. And I think across the board, that's probably the most disappointing aspect of not having baseball, is not getting to see those guys do their thing on the field. As much as I love dancing in dugouts or traveling across the Eastern League doing the broadcast, it's all about the game, and not getting a chance to see these young athletes do their thing, certainly a big disappointment, but just makes it the anticipation that much greater for when they finally take the field.
Pat Malacaro, Nate Pearson was going to be probably your opening day starter. What's been your feel?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Nate Pearson, Anthony Kay, TJ Zoit. You'd start out with those three, and that doesn't, you know, account for any other pitchers that might, starting rotation-wise, would have been in the rotation this year. This is going to be a good team. Now, someone like Jacob Wagaspak, who was in the big leagues last year, is he a long guy in the big leagues? Is he a starter in Buffalo? Usually at the start of the year, it takes the pitching a while to catch up to the hitting. But when you've got the big arms and guys that have been at AAA before, like I just mentioned, you know, it was going to be a good year for Bison's pitching. And it may have been the opportunity for the team to separate themselves early or create a gap that other teams have to catch them. The Bisons haven't made the playoffs in a very long time. Especially in the 7 years of the affiliation with the Blue Jays, this may have been the best chance because they've always had to play catch-up, and I don't feel like that would have been the case this year because of the pitching, and that doesn't mention even the bullpen.
Now, Tyler Murray, those frontline starters for Buffalo, guys who could be in the major leagues but weren't yet, that was going to affect New Hampshire in a major way.
Yeah, I think heading into last spring training, a lot of the talk with, I mean, Mike Wilner used to say it a lot, that last year Buffalo finally had like a good crop of young starters with potential, like a Thomas Pannone type guy who, you know, if they continue pitching well, maybe they can find a big league home. And we just saw so many starters in New Hampshire. I mean, I go back to Connor Green, right, where there was in the early stages, it was these flame-throwing guys and you weren't sure where it was going. But I don't know if it's guys just being more ready when they get to AA now. Maybe the coaching has improved. We don't have Vince Horsman anymore, but he did a great job in AA. But now you're getting guys like Patrick Murphy, who I think, if not for that toe tap thing last year, I mean, he was on such a trajectory to, man, he was so tough to hit. I think if Nate Pearson never showed up and Patrick Murphy didn't have his mechanic thing, two big ifs. I mean, he's the story of the season in New Hampshire. I thought he had terrific stuff. So there are so many guys right now that, yes, maybe Pearson's up here, but that second tier, I think it is really jam-packed, which is pretty good for Blue Jays fans.
I mean, the fun part of it is we've got the guys who would be arriving in AA, AAA. Rob and Zach, you saw these guys. You saw a lot of them on their way up, the guys who weren't acquired via trade. So, Zach, let's go to you. The next wave, we look at the short season levels first. How's the next wave looking?
Yeah, it's always, you know, questionable in Bluefield. You never quite know, especially with the draft now being shortened. Even if we do have an Appy League season, that's going to be always the question. But I think the fun part about Bluefield is the unknowns. Usually you have an Alejandro Kirk that no one really knows about, until they show up in town and they're like, who is this guy? And then now he's mashing and going to spring training, and we got to see him the past couple of years at the lower level. It's always intriguing when the talent comes through. We had some guys last year, the kid from Radford, he was a small college guy, didn't get really many D1 looks.
His name escapes
me right now, unfortunately. But, he got Appy League Player of the Week a couple of times, ended up being an all-star. He's going to be a tremendous guy. The pitching, we saw Eric Pardino a few years ago. And I think it's going to be one of those things that it's always uncertain once they get to Bluefield. But, once they leave Bluefield, I think everyone up the chain kind of knows what's about to happen, what kind of talent is coming out for the next year.
I like hearing with Pat talking about how things have changed in Buffalo. Tyler, you mentioned, what is the difference? Is it coaching? Is it something else? Rob, you've been in Vancouver for a little while. Like, Pat has been an institution in Buffalo. Bob has been an institution in New Hampshire. You've been in Vancouver. How have you seen things change?
Well, I got here, it depends. My first broadcast was 1998 when we were the Pacific Coast League affiliate of the Oakland A's. I've been here actually since the mid-90s when it was the California Angels. But let's fast forward to the time of the Blue Jays. And I've been very fortunate to see the Syndergaards and the Stromans and even the Javier Avendaños. But I'll tell you what, having that body of work and then seeing what I saw this year from both Alec Manoa and Adam Klopfenstein, we talk about that tier with Nate Pearson and then the Zach Logues and the Murrays right on the heels. The cavalry behind is just as strong. And Adam Klopfenstein is a boy in a man's body, but every single game, he reminded me more and more of Justin Nicolino, who, in my estimation, if you're a diehard Blue Jay fan from a pitching side over the last decade, was one of the hardest workers. He's got that Josh Winkowski work ethic, a guy that just never stopped talking baseball. So he, to me, knock on wood, if everything stays healthy for him, is a can't-miss prospect. Alec Manoa is an interesting guy. I actually heard in the offseason he was part of a trade offer to the Indians when they were trying to get Francisco Lindor. And I was surprised by that. But Alec Manoa is a really interesting study in body type, because I've always said, like, redheads, blondes, and brunettes, the Blue Jays right now have a type. You look at the Nate Pearsons, the TJ Zoiks of the world, Klopfenstein 6'6", Alec Manoa 6'7". They're definitely going for big body kids right now, as opposed to the odd Marcus Stroman. That said, I look at Alec Manoa, who tipped over 300 pounds when he was in Vancouver. That would have been a real interesting first impression when he finally got to extend it and people took a look at him. Because you got to remember, he came right out of West Virginia with an ungodly amount of innings pitched from his NCAA season. Then all of a sudden came up to Vancouver. He dabbled with a couple of innings here and there. But I have to be honest, man, I was really taken aback by how big and soft he was. And, I'm just going to tell it the way that it is, because I've seen enough pitchers over my span. That would have been a surprise for the Blue Jays when they showed up. Because I remember how hard Vladdy took it when he arrived a little out of shape. Alec Manoa needed a big offseason this year. So he was my one guy coming into March of spring training this year that I was looking at more than anybody else. Could he shed 25, 30 pounds and become the pitcher he needs to be as opposed to what they drafted?
Well, he's got a big offseason. They've all got big offseasons right now that they're all working on. I just talked to Cree Finfrock, one of my favorite names to say, one of my favorite pitchers to watch pitch. And he's built a pitching mound in his backyard that he's been working and working. Has anyone else checked in with a player that they know to see how they're spending this time?
Yeah, I actually checked in with a couple of the veterans, Andy Burns, who's been in Buffalo for 3 years now, wrapped around his time in Korea, and Patrick Kivlahan. Those two guys were on the field leaders, off the field leaders last year. They helped lighten the mood a lot. And it's no surprise that I think those two guys still are working pretty hard, and just talking to them, they're in conversation with different people from the Blue Jays organization. They have kettlebells and resistance bands shipped to them, so there's still work going on. It might be a little hard in Kivlahan's case with a young daughter and his wife having a Zoom teach during the day, but they're still putting the work in and hoping for something sooner than later.
Well, let me ask, with that in mind, how's everybody else doing in supporting whatever family members you might be living with? Okay.
I guess. My wife's not sick of me yet, apparently. It's just us two, though. So.
Pays off to be a bachelor in my case. One and one.
Yeah. Same here. I have my home office all to myself, all 1,400 square feet of it.
My dog has put a few miles on over the past couple of months that she wasn't expecting. So I think that's been a good way to not pack all the pounds on that everyone keeps talking about. I certainly have cooked almost every single meal since the middle of March. I've been out only a couple of times, so my skills are probably not rusty.
Practice makes perfect. And Bob, looking at the field behind you, it looks like you've got great weather too.
Yeah, well, seeing that this was from last July 9th, I believe, Zick has got it there, but it, yeah, there you go. I think Zick would have been off to Dunkin' Donuts Park in Hartford, Connecticut tonight.
Oh, the New Hampshire home away from home. Nothing beats the tooth, though. Delta Dental.
There you go.
Jesse, I can shout out a player real quick. Tim Mayza was with us for a couple of years and, you know, big leagues now. He kind of unprovoked said, hey, if you guys need anything, like a message to little leaguers who aren't getting to play or a pitching lesson, he'll do it for us. And he did. He did a towel drill on video to show us. And he said that he hadn't, and this was less than a month ago, he said he hadn't been fully cleared to pitch yet. So that was it kind of made the drill not as 100% as he wanted it to be, but that was very nice of him. That's not the first time Tim has gone out of his way to do something for us just because. So wanted to thank him for that, but he's really in the kind of doing what you can in his basement type workout scenario in Pennsylvania right now.
Such an interesting thing in checking in with the players and how they're spending the time. The players who've started out their own businesses are trying to stay in shape. And then there are the guys who are going to join the organization shortly. Just by a show of raised hands, who in this call is looking forward to the Major League Draft?
Sure. Of course.
It's baseball. It's what we've got going right now. But five rounds and then free agents. Bob, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I really am concerned to see what this means, because I'm not sure there's been a properly vetted and thought through all the way of what just five players selected means. I really do believe in the process that the Blue Jays go through in drafting and signing players. So I think that they're going to be in pretty good shape when it comes to offering some positions when you get beyond the five rounds. But, you know, I wish that there were more opportunities for guys.
Pat?
Yeah, I think it's just tough to be a minor leaguer in general right now with all that we've talked about, whether it be, you know, contraction or, you know, just not being able to play this year yet. And the fact that there's going to be so few rounds and then it's kind of just going to be all free agents from there. It's tough. It's really tough right now to get into being a minor leaguer. And I think, you know, there's no probably perfect solution, but this is a really tough way to do it, I think.
What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, I think it's an unprecedented time with the contraction and just thinking about just five rounds, even if the Appy League was certain for this season, it would be kind of, you know, questionable. Usually, you know, Bluefield's going to receive anywhere between 20 and the 40 rounders. Sometimes maybe a top 10 pick will sprinkle through, but it's an intriguing time. I don't know if this is the right answer or the wrong answer. I don't know if from my standpoint of things, I'm not a fan of contraction on many levels, even including the fact that I may not have a job next season. But I feel like small towns like Bluefield and the Bristols, you know, to be quite honest, there's not many Blue Jays fans here other than Bluefield Blue Jays fans. It was the same when it was the Orioles organization. Not many fans were the Orioles until the Orioles came through. This is a Braves, Reds, and even Pirates area. But, you know, Bluefield has embraced the Blue Jays. Princeton has embraced the Rays, and a lot of other Appy League towns have done the same. And I think that's across the board small town USA. They embrace the team that's in town. You know, a lot of people in Bluefield had no idea who Vlad Guerrero was. Now they're Vlad Jr. fans. You know, I think you're taking baseball out of towns, and it's going to be one of those situations where the damage may be irreparable down the road.
And not too many of us have seen Jordan Groshans. You've seen Jordan Groshans.
Yeah, and he was a tremendous athlete. I think he's going to be one of those guys that we're all talking about for years to come. He had a great season here. Luis, worked with him day in and day out with his fielding. His hitting is there. I think this long offseason is going to be one of those that helps guys like Jordan kind of get into the rhythm of finding a way to work out every day and get a rhythm of maybe putting on a few pounds and just being a better athlete. But, you know, those guys, the Justin Ammons, who was a free agent late last year, the pickup, a very fast kid who was a two-sport athlete in high school and could have played, you know, college ball as a cornerback. Those type guys, I think, coming up through the system are going to be tremendous through the years. But, you know, who's to say that if there wasn't a advanced rookie league, would they have got a shot? And I think that's some of the thing that a lot of the Appy League GMs and managers the like are fighting for. So, you know, just give the kids a chance to play and maybe let them prove themselves down the road. And I think there's just so many layers of this onion that we could go on for hours trying to peel off. But I know, you know, I don't think any of us have that kind of time today.
And on that note, as we wrap up, anyone want to raise your hand if you have any final thoughts that you would like to share before we close this down?
I'll just answer that last question about the draft real quick, Jesse. Hopefully it creates maybe a way for that free agency phase to get the signing bonuses up a bit, but I just don't know enough about the process. But what I do know is fan favorites through New Hampshire the last few years, Jonathan Davis, that's a 15th round pick. John Birdie, that's an 18th rounder. And then the guy I always think of when you talk about shortening the draft, Kevin Pillar, 32nd round. So hopefully these diamonds in the rough and these terrific guys who really have to work their way from little league to triple A to the bigs, who have to grind more than anybody just to get noticed. I hope we don't lose that facet of minor league and eventually major league baseball.
I'd love to add
valuable player, Kevin Pillar. Yes, Zick.
I'd love to add Nash Knight to that list. I think everybody on this call and anybody listening can be a Nash Knight fan if they aren't already. And speaking of Jonathan Davis and Nash, two guys who had children right at the end of the offseason, right as spring training was beginning. I actually spoke to both of them and had some very interesting conversations about what fatherhood is like pre and post no baseball. And I know those guys would certainly love to be playing, but they're taking advantage of this extra time to raise baby Dane Scott Knight and baby Capri Davis. If anybody has any interest in getting a little cuteness in your life, find your way to Jonathan Davis's Instagram, because baby Capri is precious and Dane Scott Knight ready to play all nine positions in one game sooner rather than later. That's for sure.
Love it. I could tell you a little something about what that's like having a baby during this too. Thank you all very much, Bob, Rob, Tyler, and Tyler, Zach, and Pat. I'm Jesse.